Well, good morning, everybody. It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving 2020. So we'll call it Thanksgiving week, because Sunday is the beginning of the week, obviously. And so we're looking forward to it, although I have to say this is going to be the most restrictive Thanksgiving of my lifetime, I think. Even more restrictive than during Vietnam war times, when a lot of people were away and so forth and so on. It's pretty hard to celebrate when your loved ones are away at war. But this is a little different this year than previously. And of course, all the restrictions that have been put on gatherings across the country. Some obviously that we're going to obey, and some that we're not going to obey. And we're going to ask Mrs. Lear if she would open us in prayer this morning.
Well, precious Father, we come before you humbly, yet with confidence. Our confidence comes from you, and we're thankful for that. Lord, there's much going on in our world today that so many find disturbing and so many others are engaged in ways that are not certainly honoring to you, in ways that you would like to see changed. But through it all, Lord, what we have is hope. We have a true and real and genuine hope in you. And I pray this morning that all of us would be reminded of that. We're told throughout Scripture that our hope is in you. And we believe that. And we're thankful. And Lord, no matter what goes on in this life around us here on earth, no matter what man does, mankind engages in, we look forward to our service to you here on earth, and we look forward to the beauty and the perfection of our eternal life with you in heaven. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever and ever. From the rising to the setting sun, his love endures forever. And by the grace of God we'll carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever and ever. Can I get an amen to that? Amen and amen. It's so true. We know it is. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the Lord of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And what are you going to say? Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. All of creation from every nation bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship, you alone are exalted on high. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your matchless worth. Bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth will declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship, you alone are exalted on high. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O Kingdom of Thought. O Ancient of Days, O Ancient of Days. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and now I know. I love you, I need you, though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. I will worship you until the very end, no matter when it will be. Will be. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord. Knock, knock, we want to come in. Lord, we want to inquire in your temple. In your temple, we will get answers to our questions. Thank you, Lord. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father and I thy true Son. Thou in my dwelling and I with thee one. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, O now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joy, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Still be my vision, O ruler of all. Yes, ruler of all, still be my vision. Well, this being Thanksgiving time, I want to sing a song that goes way back. Can't say for sure that they sang it on the Mayflower or when they got over here off the Mayflower, but could be. Pretty old song. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens His will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to His name, He forgets not His own. Pay close attention to these lyrics. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining His kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we were winning, Thou Lord, we are at our side, all glory be Thine. We all do extol Thee, Thou leader triumphant, and pray that Thou still our defender will be. Let Thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised, O Lord, make us free. With voices united, our praises we offer to Thee. In thanksgiving, glad anthems we raise. Thy strong arm will guide us, for Thou art beside us, the Father, Son, and Spirit forever be praised. Wow. That's a good congregational singing song, don't you think? To Thee in thanksgiving, glad anthems we raise. Thy strong arm will guide us, for Thou art beside us. The Father, Son, and Spirit forever be praised. Remember, folks, that's what we need to be doing daily. And as we do that daily, the picture clears up, we might say. Well, in our quips and quotes for this week, now more than ever, our nation needs effective leaders to stem the rising tide of the left's progressive agenda meant to erode our personal liberties. Real leadership can be scary. It means recognizing the best plays and taking the necessary steps to achieve the desired outcome. Often going against what others advise you to do, making mistakes and learning from them, and even accepting our own failures. How honestly you evaluate your leadership skills, your operational intelligence, will influence how effective or ineffective you are in your activism. So how do you see yourself? And what should you be looking for in your planning, preparing, and acting, and later evaluating, as you choose the fights you plan to take on? Think about that. As you choose the fights you plan to take on. And nobody can be fighting wars on all fronts. No one calls the right plays all the time. But there is a goal you should be striving toward. And what do you think that is? And I'll leave that up to you to answer. In 1839, the Scottish clergyman Robert Murray McShane wrote in a letter, "I know well that when Christ is nearest, Satan is also busiest." Can you say amen to that? In earlier days, children were given the Bible as one of their first readers, and it was a tough assignment. Not much literature was written at their level. The few books that were written for them had flat characters or were preachy. Well, Jacob Abbott helped to change that. Born on November 14th, 1803 in Halliwell, Maine, he descended from a long line of Puritans, devout and orthodox. He became a teacher, writer, and preacher. As a teacher, he introduced methods of kindness in place of harsh discipline and pioneered women's education. One of his most famous pupils was the young Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who is remembered today for the poem Hiawatha and the courtship of Miles Standish, among others. Jacob summed up his methods in these words: "When you consent, consent cordially. When you refuse, refuse finally. When you punish, punish good-naturedly. Command often, never scold." Jacob trained as a congregational pastor. In 1834, some words which he had written were twisted to make him seem an Arian, one who denies Christ's full divinity. But he cleared himself of the charge. He wrote books with titles like The Way for a Child to be Saved. With a brother, he even prepared a child's translation of the New Testament. But it is Jacob's fiction which made him famous. He wrote over 200 books, many of them in a series. One of his series taught service, travel, and other subjects through the adventures of a boy named Rollo. Jacob created Rollo with enough personality and naughtiness to seem real. His parents used his misbehavior to teach him right from wrong. Other characters were also realistic enough to stick in the mind, and the Rollo stories were full of fun things to do. Kids wouldn't be too impressed with Abbott's writing today, but in his own day it seemed wonderful. He was the most popular juvenile writer. Many authors followed in his footsteps and improved on his methods. The cheerful, hard-working congregational pastor paved the path for what has become a major subsection of publishing industry. Do you know in this last election cycle we had between 30 to 50 million ghost voters? You know what a ghost voter is? Suddenly they show up out of nowhere. Well, what we need right now is a clean audit of the election. Think about the power we the people have, and we need to counter the narrative. Republics are created by the virtue, public spirit, and intelligence of the citizens. They fall when the wise are banished from public councils because they dare to be honest, and the profligate are rewarded because they flatter the people in order to betray them. Is that what's happening? I think so. And that was said by Justice Joseph Story in 1833. In 1742, English revivalist George Whitefield wrote in a letter, "Plead his promises, be much in secret prayer, and never give God rest till your soul is filled with all his fullness." The Constitution ought to be the standard of construction for the laws. and that whenever there is an evident opposition, the laws ought to give place to the Constitution. Alexander Hamilton, 1788. And this is so important in America today, because some people are just coming up with law after law with no biblical and no constitutional basis at all. There are two futures facing America. Which one would you choose? Slavery or Renaissance? Slavery or Renaissance? George Washington said, "Truth will ultimately prevail where there is pains to bring it to the light." And tonight, tomorrow, this week, we have a lot of pains that certain people are going through to bring to light important things we need to know. And by the way, we must do a lot more than just resist to preserve freedom for future generations. Sometimes we think just resisting wrong things does it, but it's got to be more than that. And I personally believe that free enterprise, not socialism, is the key to free people. More than 1 million people legally immigrate to the U.S. every year. We talk about illegal immigration and breaching the borders and all this, but there are more than 1 million people that legally immigrate to the U.S. every year. We have more foreign-born citizens than anyone else in the world. 4 times more than the next closest country. Most come for the freedom and opportunity uniquely available in the home of the free. The rest of the world sees something many of our woke friends and neighbors don't understand, and that is there's something special in America. And here's a new phrase for you. Willful noncompliance. Willful noncompliance. Willful noncompliance. I've often said, when I've been advised to do a certain thing that I didn't agree to, I said, "You've advised me, I do not consent." And so I can also say, "You have my willful noncompliance." It's not accidental, it's not a matter of ignorance, it's willful. And the question is, whose will should prevail? Now we know that we need to say God's will prevail. Lord, your will prevails. But when God's will prevails in our lives, then he strengthens our mettle. He strengthens our will, and we're not going to comply with things that do not comport with God's will. There's a sermon in that alone, but that's not exactly what I'm going to share this week. You'll turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm looking forward to, and I'll of you will be able to access it, my special Thanksgiving broadcast that I'll put up on the internet in a variety of different ways. I'll be reading from Glenn Cheney's book called Thanksgiving. I'll also read again the Mayflower Compact, which that video is coming to you soon. That's being processed, because it's very important that we express our thanks to those people who went through the ardors of establishing a new country. In Plymouth, who came over on the Mayflower, my ancestors. And perhaps yours too. And all of us have a legacy from them, regardless whether we're actually genetically related to them or not. But that's a subject for another time. So we're looking at Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 5 through verse 20. So I'm going to ask Mrs. Lear if she would read the first 8 verses, and I will read the final 7 verses. Beginning at Ephesians 6 at verse 5.
Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 12 from the English Standard Version. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours in heaven is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That was Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 12 from the English Standard Version.
I'm continuing reading in Ephesians 6 at verse 13 from English Standard Version as well. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And I've just finished reading from Ephesians 6, from verses 13 to 20. I'm not saying that you should not, in your time this week, yourself read the entire chapter, which of course is only 24 verses. It's a short chapter. And every word is important. But I've highlighted some, and I've done that emphatically in my tone of voice, purposefully. I want to give you as a subject today, spiritual vigilantes. Spiritual vigilantes. Now you probably bristle a little bit because you've been mostly taught through the media and else that vigilantes are bad people. You shouldn't be a vigilante. Well, what is a vigilante? Where does that word come from? And you'll notice in the word vigilante is the word vigilance. But we are exhorted in Scripture to be vigilant. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. So when we say be a spiritual vigilante, which is a good theme or title for this passage of Scripture. And by the way, just because Scripture says, bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, does not mean that the Lord wants us to be bond servants to anybody but Him. We're bonded to Christ the way we should be bonded to our wife and to our children. For that matter, honestly, loyalty and bonding to our country. But we find ourselves in a circumstance that many times is not what we have chosen for ourselves. You didn't choose where you're going to be born. You didn't choose who your parents were going to be. Occasionally, parents get to choose who their child is. But rarely is it the other way around. You can say you chose what school to go to. Sort of. A lot of times you go to the school that happens to be the school that services the area of town you live in. And you don't really get a choice. So we find ourselves in circumstances that are not always of our own choosing. So in being a spiritual vigilante, we recognize we need to be bonded to Christ, that our main bond, and I've always been fascinated by bonds. I'm not talking about savings bonds or stock bonds. Bonding. I've used every kind of glue. When the old super glue came out and a guy had a safety helmet on, he glued to a girder and he actually could hang on to his hat on the girder, and I thought, wow, now that's some bonding. Or JB Weld and different two-part compounds you mix together. It hardens and so forth. I've actually seen some stuff that cracked metal could be bonded together, and you could actually drill it after it was bonded. So I've been fascinated with that chemical ability to bond something. And of course, welding is bonding. But the Lord wants us to be bonded to Him in bonds that are not to be broken, in bonds that are durable. So, using as an example a bond servant to obey your earthly masters with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. When we read Scripture like this, it begs questions of us. Do you do what you do, the will of God from the heart? Or are you doing that as a people pleaser? And honestly, folks, I ask myself that question very frequently. Am I just being a people pleaser? I suppose we could look around and say, well, how pleased are the people with you? Then you can tell how good a people pleaser you are. I've disappointed a lot of people in my life. I didn't please them. Some were people who were close to me. But have I maintained being a spiritual vigilante? Have I gotten a hold of the will of God and sunk my teeth into it like a pit bull does and doesn't let go? I certainly hope I've done that. Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. People do things for selfish reasons. Many times they ask the question, what's the pro quid quo here? What are they trading for another thing? But in being a spiritual vigilante, you don't give up. You're bonded to the Lord, so you don't give up. No matter what you see, what you hear, you don't give up. Till the Lord comes and redeems this earth, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he's a bondservant or is free. Have you been disappointed that you haven't been taken care of well, that you haven't been rewarded for your hard work? Well, if you were doing it as unto the Lord, as a spiritual vigilante, you are maintaining that spiritual life in a vigilant way and recognizing the battles that we're facing are not really just physical battles. They're spiritual battles. We are definitely in that spiritual battle in America. Perhaps in many ways, America has always been in one level of spiritual battle or another, but right now, the spiritual battle is particularly fierce, and the Lord needs his spiritual vigilantes. Or look around and say, no, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up hope for America. These groanings and pains are happening all over the world, but for my circumstance, and for most of you, we're concerned with our homeland. We're concerned with America. We're here because the Lord wants us here. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. You know, to do something right, the right way, instead of intimidating or threatening, and I watched a little video clip of a judge who I like a lot. I've seen him before. He's in Rhode Island. And he said to a woman who was obviously having a bad day, was belligerent, he said, you know, I'm giving you a huge break here. We're not trying to intimidate you. We're not against you. We're trying to help you. Eventually, she woke up to that fact and realized, thank you for helping me. The Lord's giving us opportunity, and we have opportunity to stand our ground and be spiritual vigilantes. And of course, to do this, the Lord has shown us how. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. When David came out against Goliath, he said, you just see a young shepherd boy in front of you. But I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord Most High God. And so that's the way it is for us. And throughout the rest of that passage that we were reading, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against the rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. There's a battle in the heavenlies going on. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, because if you're going to be a spiritual vigilante, you're going to have the right uniform on. You're going into battle, you need full battle dress. Full BDU, battle dress uniform. Military term. So you'll be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. Spiritual vigilante, you stand firm. You don't push over. Not going to bowl you over easily. Stand therefore, having fastened on the helm the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Vigilantes are ready. We were watching a cowboy movie the other night. It was amazing how quickly a large posse came together. And I thought, they didn't put that posse together in 5 minutes. Those people were ready to go. They knew they were part of the posse. Do you know you're part of the spiritual vigilante? So when the spiritual battle is raging and you're needed, they don't have to go looking for you. You're there. You sense that it's a necessary time and you're ready. It's like hearing the bell ring when you're a Minuteman. That's why they call it a Minuteman, was you heard the bell ring and in a minute you're ready. You had all your stuff prepared and ready to go before you heard the bell. The bell was only to say, okay, your musket is clean, it's ready, it's loaded, your powder horn's filled, your bullet bag is filled. Get all those things on you and get out and do it in a minute. Spiritual vigilante. And take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. All. Not some, but all. The shield of faith. So when people, and of course, a great study of the faith movement, and some of it was hyper faith, and some of it didn't make a lot of sense. But basically, the Bible is filled with what faith does and what faith is, and how we need to be people of faith. And maybe you've lost your faith. If you've lost your faith, you're not a spiritual vigilante. Because you believe when you have your faith, you keep your faith, you raise your shield of faith, your spiritual vigilante, you believe your faith will protect you. Praying at all times the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And supplication, I don't know why it's necessary that Scripture has to say prayer and supplication. Really, in a sense, all prayer is supplication. But it's a kind of a deep prayer, you know, a heartfelt kind of prayer. Whether you're on your knees, whether you're on your face, whether you're standing up with your hands raised or your hands folded, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. There's the spiritual vigilante. Keep alert with all perseverance. If you give up, you're not vigilant. If you give up, you're not a spiritual vigilante. And making supplication for all the saints, we pray for our brethren. Not just for ourselves, Of course, we pray for the lost to be saved and receive the gospel, etc. But we pray for the saints. There's a special place in God's heart for his people. And he wants his people loving one another and praying for one another. And that's part of being a spiritual vigilante too, because then you're connected and attracted to other spiritual vigilantes. And here's something, obviously, the Apostle Paul was requesting as people prayed for him. But we request this all ourselves. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth. Now, let's back it off here. Boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, opening my mouth. That I be given the words to do that. Well, if you don't open your mouth, you won't be given the words to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And it is a mystery. Hopefully it's not a mystery to you. It's not a mystery to me, because when you've been saved and you've come to know the truth of the gospel, the good news, the evangel, it's not a mystery anymore. But to the general public, it's a mystery. And sometimes we may ask the question, it's a little mysterious in a sense, well, why did the Lord do this for us? Why did the Lord do this for me? But that's not really a mystery either, because that question is answered in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would love him would be saved. For God so loved the world. And because we so love the Lord, and he so loves the world, and he so loves us, we're spiritual vigilantes, and when we open our mouth, the Lord will put the words there to explain the mystery. And not only this mystery of the gospel, but the mystery of the kingdom of God, for which I am an ambassador in chain, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Being a spiritual vigilante is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Because you're declaring boldly as you ought to speak. And as you ought to do. Will you identify with that? I pray you will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.